Hello, everyone. I'm Terry Alexon, Investor Education Coordinator for the Arizona Corporation Commission's Securities Division, welcoming you to another edition of the Corporation Commission's podcast series. Today's session is the third of a multi-part series on Real-Life Regulators, Anatomy of an Investment Fraud. These podcasts feature investment fraud cases from the Commission's Securities Division, dissecting how an investment fraud works, and more importantly, how you can protect yourself from becoming a victim. With us today is an enforcement attorney with the Commission's Securities Division, Paul Kitchen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. He will be highlighting a prevalent issue in Arizona, and that is real estate investment fraud. To illustrate, he will talk to us about a multi-million dollar fraud case involving real estate called the Woodbridge Investment that actually defrauded many investors. Thanks, Paul, for speaking with us today. Let's start out by my asking you to explain to our listeners, how can a piece of real estate become a security under the jurisdiction of the Commission's Securities Division?
Well, making your own investment yourself in real estate often is not a security. However, if someone else is investing in real estate and you are investing in their venture and letting them handle the real estate, that can easily be a security.
Excellent. All right, good to know, especially for those folks who might be considering investment in real estate. Now, please tell us more about the Woodbridge investment. What was it exactly?
So Woodbridge was a series of related companies called the Woodbridge Mortgage Investment Funds. And Woodbridge was a commercial lender that made hard money loans secured by commercial property. And Woodbridge raised money from investors and pooled it to let it fund those loans. Woodbridge told investors that it would make the loans to third-party companies and use the loan interest to pay interest back to the investors. And the instrument that Woodbridge used and gave to investors was a promissory note.
Oh, I see. The Woodbridge investment is a good example of people funding someone else's real estate investment. Now, I have a two-part question for you regarding the pool of investors, but I realize we can't talk about the demographic, but can you tell us, about how many investors handed over their money to fund the Woodbridge investment?
Woodbridge was nationwide, and they admitted having over 10,000 investors who put in over $1 billion. In our Arizona case, there were 635 Woodbridge investments, and they totaled over $38 million.
Well, quite a few people indeed, Paul. Now, I'm curious as to how did the perpetrators promote the Woodbridge investment opportunity to prospective investors?
They used several methods, but one that was noteworthy was to recruit insurance salesmen to sell Woodbridge investments for them. And there were several insurance salesmen in Arizona with no securities license who sold about two-thirds of the Woodbridge notes in the Arizona case.
Okay, now please explain for us, where exactly was the fraud in the Woodbridge investment, and what was it exactly?
There was fraud in several ways. The most fundamental was that Woodbridge was ultimately a Ponzi scheme. Woodbridge made commercial loans, but mostly they did not make those loans to third parties. Almost all of Woodbridge's commercial loans were made to other companies owned by the person who owned Woodbridge. These companies had no revenue, no bank accounts, and they never actually made interest payments like they were supposed to. So instead of using interest payments to pay investors, Woodbridge primarily used money from new investors to repay the prior investors.
Interesting. Yes, that's how a Ponzi scheme works. But regarding restitution for those investors and penalties, of course, how much was ordered by the Corporation Commission? If so, and then what happened?
So fortunately, after Arizona took action, Woodbridge paid back the Arizona investors early on its own initiative. So the commission didn't actually need to order restitution for Arizona investors in our case. Some investors outside of Arizona are not so lucky, and they're stuck waiting for the resolution of a bankruptcy case before they see an additional return.
Well, that's great. Okay, now I think our listeners may be wondering if there was any subsequent criminal prosecution involved. If so, what government authority had prosecuted the Woodbridge matter?
Yes, the mastermind of Woodbridge was a man named Robert Shapiro. He was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Florida, and he eventually pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud, and also pleaded guilty to tax evasion. And he was sentenced to over 25 years in federal prison and $478 million in restitution.
Excellent. I think our listeners would like to hear that. Next, and most importantly, though, how can investors protect themselves against this type of investment fraud? Any red flags you can identify?
Yes, and the first red flag here was that before Arizona took action, two other states had taken action against Woodbridge. And if investors had done a Google search or some sort of internet search on Woodbridge and looked at it closely enough, maybe beyond the first page of search results, they would have seen those actions taken and the fact that that Woodbridge had already been found liable for securities violations would have been a very significant red flag. In addition, Woodbridge and its salesmen failed to tell investors about the risks of the investment. And if someone's pitching you an investment and doesn't give you a detailed explanation of what the risks are, that's also a significant red flag.
Well, those are good red flags. Anything else, Paul?
Yes, it's also good to be skeptical about buying investments from someone without a securities license, unless you're buying insurance from a licensed insurance seller. So, for example, in our case, there are a lot of people who bought these securities from insurance sellers who were not licensed security sellers. And it would have helped those investors if they had asked questions about that. In addition, be skeptical if you do not receive extensive paperwork about your investment. You probably should be getting a lot of paperwork about it. And be sure to read all the paperwork you get. A lot of it will be boring. A lot of it maybe won't make sense to you. But there could be important risk information that's buried in that paperwork somewhere. And you want to find that information so you can ask follow-up questions. In particular, if the paperwork you get discloses significant risks that the seller didn't tell you about verbally, that's a big red flag that they didn't highlight to you the information that's supposed to be important.
Great, I agree with that. And I might add, if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. And that's why I say ask and check before you invest.
Absolutely.
Well, once again, thanks, Paul, for providing our listeners with some valuable information on real estate as a security and helping us dissect this type of investment fraud. I think applying this knowledge can help our listeners reduce the possibility of being ensnared as a victim. Having said that, I would encourage the sharing of this important information, this podcast, by visiting our website at azcc.gov/azinvestor. Click on the investor resource link at the top of the menu, then simply scroll down to find a list of podcasts to forward on to the people you know. In closing, I encourage people to also sign up for our investor news alerts, either at the website or by emailing me a message to info@azinvestor.gov. If you think you have been victimized in an investment fraud scheme, please, please contact the investigator on duty by telephone at 602-542-0662. Or toll-free in Arizona, 1-866-VERIFY-9, which translates numerically into 837-4399. Again, that local phone number is 602-542-0662, or toll-free in Arizona, 1-866-VERIFY-9. So, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters, but the Fraudbusters at the Arizona Corporation Commission Securities Division. Thanks so much for listening today, and we hope to have another important message for you very, very soon.